Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 190th edition of New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Malwal Malbur. He is a healthcare provider extraordinaire. He's trained as a physician in the UK, South Sudan, and Lebanon, and as a tropical medicine specialist, infectious disease doctor. Then he came to the United States in 2009, became a citizen in 2013, and not being able to practice medicine here, he returned to school at UNE and became a physician assistant. Presently, he serves the community through Greater Portland Health, which cares for 11,000 local citizens, regardless of their insurance, in a professional, caring, and culturally sensitive way. Thanks for coming back on the show, Malwal. I can't wait to hear about your unorthodox journey in medicine.
Yeah, thank you, Kate, for inviting me for the second time. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm feeling like this is becoming now one of my second homes.
Oh, very good. Well, I hope you spend more time here. When I first met you, you were just heading off to UNE to study, and then recently I thought, I wonder whatever happened to you, and so I gave you a call and said, do you want to come back and tell us?
Yes, at the time, actually, when I went back to, it was like the end or something like beginning of 2015 when I came here, and I was working at the public health at the city of Portland. And then I decided that I missed really clinical work, and I decided to become a PA after knowing the responsibilities and the work environment and what the PAs actually they are doing. So I gladly actually joined the University of New England, UNE, College of Physician Assistant, and graduated in 2017. I've been practicing for over a year now at Greater Portland Health. And it's quite a journey. And during that time in 2016, also my wife graduated from USM, obtained a bachelor's degree in nursing degree. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a medical family.
Kind of.
Yeah. I try to picture what that must have been like for your instructors at your physician assistant school, knowing they had several physicians actually sitting in the classroom at the same time. I know there was another guest on New Mainers Speak,
yes,
who also was in your class. And so two of you are doctors from global
places. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to extend my regards to, and also like extending warm greetings to my good friend Abdul Kani. Last week was Eid al-Adha, which is the festival. So I just want to say it like happy Eid to him. And we had a quite good journey, actually, like because it was like, we've been away from school for a while. So I graduated from medical school in 2002, and Abdul is in 2004, and then moved to United States actually together. So like for academic life, we kind of like rusty a little bit. So we needed actually like to get some refreshment, and also to know how medicine is being practiced here in the United States. It's different in certain capacities or certain types. So it was a quiet learning experience. And at the same time, we shared what we have learned from overseas, actually, like with our colleagues and also like professors and preceptors, what we know. And it was like a real wonderful journey. It is hard to sit in the class like from 8 to 5, but at the same time, like we had a lot of discussions, presentations, and sharing medical knowledge, because medicine is just like an ocean, you know, it is broad and very huge.
So. Yes, you could study forever and never be expert in all the drops of water.
Yeah, exactly. An exam is always not fun, okay?
No, nobody likes exams. Actually, some people knock them out of the park and they love them, but okay, most of us don't really love that.
Absolutely.
So when you were a child, you liked math and science, and your mother said you could be anything you wanted to be. Mm-hmm. You wanted to be a problem solver no matter what, but she encouraged you into considering medicine. Did you ever need medical help as a child yourself?
Kind of. I had some eyesight problems. Like I had a diagnosis actually called keratoconus cornea, like the and this problem actually it could not be solved except like with hard contact lenses, And after coming to the United States, I managed to do like one of corneal transplant. Nobody can see that I have any difficulty or deformity, but I did have a problem really with my eyesight. And it was really hard, like studying and having like eye difficulty. But what drew me also to medicine field, like, because when I saw so many epidemics, like for example, like back in Sudan and in South Sudan and in Africa in general, so many tropical illnesses like malaria, meningitis, and other stuff actually that can really hurt and kill, and we had a lot of mortality and morbidity, we call it in a medical terms, because of sickness. So I got the passion of helping those who are really suffering, and adding to that, for example, like just simple wounds or injuries. Some people actually they fear a person who is going to die, or they are afraid that maybe they can catch a disease or an infection. During that time, even before when I decided to join tropical disease world and try to jump in, actually, like in any epidemics of like epidemics of cholera or meningitis or anything else, like for example, I work even in TB clinic, trying to help people, and because of my education, actually, I help people with multi-drug resistant tuberculosis as well. This is in the past. So it was quite a journey, but and all this journey, actually, like I was doing it as a single man. You know, I didn't have a family at the time, and I wasn't like really
thinking maybe right to 100%. Like by the time now, I'm in the beginning of my 40s, and it is really hard when I look back and I say, what did I do for real? Because it is like adventurous, like to jump in different situations. Some of them sometimes it could be very tough, but the great joy that I had, that you know, helping another person, another human being, is being saved and everything.
Yes, I think about people who rush to the aid of people who are experiencing Ebola.
I know.
And what kind of courage that takes for the physicians and the healthcare practitioners.
And great respect to all healthcare workers actually work and volunteered to work actually like in situations like epidemics like Ebola and hemorrhagic fevers in general. And I tell you, it is not fun. It is really serious. Yeah, we do protective gears. We do different at the best of our abilities and knowledge to protect ourselves. But sometimes things could go out of control. You don't know how. And it is really hard situation. And after having a family, you know, if like I don't have the family, my family is the best thing that happened to me in my life, actually. Like I have a very beautiful and wonderful wife and wonderful children. I love them so much. And because the situation now is different, you know,
you
I could think twice. Yeah, exactly. But before they were part of my life, I could jump in actually like in any epidemics, like and I know a lot of medical great medical colleagues actually that they are in the front line or in the trenches actually in this tough situation. It's really hard. Yeah.
Could you give us an example of the different way medicine might be handled in South Sudan versus South Portland?
Yeah, in Portland or South Portland, or it is in, or it is really like medicine is medicine, which is really great. The ABCs of medicine, or the fundamental of medicine, like, is to have a good relationship, rapport with patients. And what is actually like going on in my older practice, actually, we never actually like had any computers, like let's say in the office or in the clinic that we are doing meeting with patients. So my full attention will be with the patient. Maybe I have a pen or a paper, just writing like some notes here and there, and then but the personal communications with patients is and the eye contact and the touching and having the empathy, I think it is the great support that you can give to someone. I'm still practicing or doing the same thing here, but sometimes also like here we focus also like in addition to this great patient communication, patient skills, we have to document everything literally, you know, like if it wasn't documented, mean it wasn't done. No, so many things that are done, but we have to document it anyway to prove that actually we did it, and also for billing purposes and different things. So this is like the challenges. You know, we have like some administration duties here more than, for example, like comparing my administrative duties back home.
Yeah, here and you do two jobs. You're a secretary and a doctor at the same time.
At the same time, exactly. And also, like over there, we work in hospitals and clinics, so we had like inpatient and outpatients, but here the job description is separated completely. Like right now, I work with outpatients. I don't do like medical rounds like I used to do, for example, like in the past. And if like I choose to become a hospitalist, mean that I'm not going to do like the outpatient work as well, unless like I get two jobs, but I'm not interested in that because my time with my family is more valuable. It's very valuable.
Of okay? course.
Yeah, thanks.
So you served the least, the last, and the lost. Mm-hmm. You talked about that when you were on New Manners Speak on the 52nd show 4 years ago, three and a half years ago. You focused on the least, the last, and the lost when you were in South Sudan.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In Sudan, in Darfur, serving like in refugees or in the internally displaced places. And I love that because, you know, most of the time that people, because of war situations or because of hardship situations, they had to be displaced from place to place. And most of the people that we served actually in the past, that they lost everything. They lost their houses, they lost the entire village sometimes, and the majority of them are really traumatized, being abused, whether physically, emotionally, sexually, and in different kinds. And it is really like the best thing that you can give a person like this one is to give them hope and to give them love and care. And so I love that passion, you know, serving and trying to help those who they cannot help themselves, and try to become a voice to those who are voiceless, and try to advocate and think that, you know, like give them actually like at least light at the end of the tunnel, that they deserve actually like ultimate care and love. And this is actually like my mission or my burden.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your family must be so proud of you for all the service you give to people who are really relegated to the back of the line.
Mm.
And when you came here and you were joining your wife, you know, you were reunited and you were in a good place, but you were unable to practice medicine. What was that like for you, being a physician, unable to be a doctor?
Well, eventually, at the beginning, I thought that that's a good break. You know, like I don't want to practice medicine because I'm not missing it at the moment. You know, like previously, but when the month after month and year after year, and then I felt like this is not my calling. This is not what I used to do. I decided that I'm really being so much selfish. You know, I just wanted to think about myself only. I don't want to help people. And then these memories, and then also like looking and hearing what my colleagues have been doing during that time in 2011. Actually, South Sudan became an independent country, and they needed really a lot of healthcare people actually to go and help and support. And I consider myself that I received good training, and I was looking actually to expand my training even further. The responsibilities of families also, like, it became enormous. I work in a public health, and I love the work of public health, and greetings and best regards actually to all my colleagues. Dr. Bankole, right now, he's the head or director of public health in Portland, Maine. He's a good friend, and I would like to extend my regards to him also. On air,
he's the, like, one that has the he doesn't do the golden rule, he does the platinum rule.
The platinum rule, exactly.
Don't treat people like you want to be treated, treat them like they would
well,
like to
be treated. Exactly. That's
I
true.
Love that. That's
yeah,
brilliant.
Absolutely, that's true. And and I learned from him a lot, and he's really like have the passion and the call of to continue in the public health mission. And but for me, yes, I love public health, but I felt like I needed also to do something different, which is actually like helping individuals, one-to-one,
contacts. Public health is an approach of reaching the whole community or population, so how it is conducted. Yes, we have like some one-to-one approaches, but I felt like I needed actually like to talk to a patient directly and to prescribe and to talk to him and help an individual at a time.
You have a lot of knowledge that can help people, but my guess is you needed a little time to recover yourself. You had some really intense, if not traumatic, experiences as a servant to others.
Absolutely.
And maybe it was good to take a break for a little bit.
And I really am so happy that I had the break. But break has to end at some point.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, like having a decision of going back to school, it is one of the greatest decisions that I really had in my life, actually.
And your children are watching.
Oh.
So if you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You are listening to New Manners Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Dr. and PA Melwal Malbur. He's from South Sudan, and he was a tropical medicine physician. But upon arriving here, he was unable to practice, so he chose to become a physician assistant and now works with Greater Portland Health. I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about the mission of Greater Portland Health and what your role there includes, Melwal.
Okay, I think there will be, I don't know whether maybe who, if like I have any colleagues from Greater Portland Health are listening right now. I don't have like an official, umbrella to speak on their behalf, but because like we know that we in Greater Portland Health, we are really happy to advocate and to talk on behalf of the clinic at any time. Yes, I'm just like could share with you the mission of Greater Portland Health. This is one of the things that attracted me to go and practice there, is to provide high quality patient-centered healthcare that is accessible, affordable, and culturally sensitive. Especially like in the city, like Greater Portland area, like South Portland, and Westbrook. In addition to other cities, we have a lot of influx of populations, immigrant communities. People they come there, so many of them actually they don't have like health insurance, and it is really like wonderful to help and to support and to try to provide great quality of healthcare system to all. In addition to that, also like we do take care of homeless population, and we have also school health. So this is really it's a great mission, and the vision is the same actually. Like our vision is to have a healthy community in which like everyone has the access to integrated, culturally sensitive, and affordable, high quality healthcare services in general. So we are promoting physical and emotional well-being for all patients, actually, like around Southern Maine in general.
Yes, our whole society benefits when everyone's healthy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So can you give me an example of what culturally sensitive care would look like? Are there any cultural nuggets that you need to know as a doctor, like these people don't like to be touched on their head, or these people always like to have someone else in the room, or that kind of thing?
I do primary health care, so and one of the things that is really wonderful about being a PA that I had a broad spectrum of practice. For example, like I do see children, I see adults also, and we do women health. And we are very sensitive, for example, like of what we've been doing. We do physical exams, and we I have like people from different cultures and different faith and different colors. So it could be like really hard, for example, like for me as a male provider, for example, like doing pap smear to a female or a woman that being traumatized and being like having she had a hard time actually, like maybe being abused whether physically or emotionally to accept me as a male provider. So we are very open-minded actually in that regards, and so this is one of the just one example of how to become like really culturally sensitive. I have wonderful colleagues, and we switch roles, you know, like, and so many times actually also we have a lot of female providers or at the clinic, and then we have like male patients that they don't want actually like to be examined or to be seen by female providers due to different reasons. And also we are very sensitive of respecting all faith. For example, like 2 months or 3 months ago, we had Ramadan, mean people are fasting. We know, for example, our patients, for example, like some of them are fasting, so we have to respect their decisions, and we have to try to adjust their medications, their time, and it is really been so easy to talk to them. And we have also providers that speak different languages. We have doctors, for example, like Dr. Fruderber speaks fluent French, and she can like talk to them. And we have like social workers speak Spanish, speak everything. And I do speak Arabic. And literally, most of the patients that are speaking Arabic, actually, like they don't have any need for an interpreter because I'm very fluent, actually, in Arabic. Okay, so
that is such a gift, yeah. Right? When you're vulnerable already, feeling like the least, the last, and the lost.
It's a blessing.
You can go get help from Malwalma Burr at Greater Portland Health, and you can even speak in your native tongue if you're an Arabic speaker.
Okay, yeah.
And you're very fluent in English, too.
Hope so.
That's your native tongue as well. What's your wish for South Sudan these days related to health?
I really wish for peace and stability for South Sudan. And also, I wish actually like the Millennium Development Goal, you know, we have to eradicate some kind of diseases, actually. And my wish actually like every child and every woman and every person, elderly, man, male, female, or to have a healthy life. They are able to access treatment. They are able to access medications and lab. This is really like the health infrastructure in South Sudan. It is just establishing. So like something is not there completely, and it is really hard, and it will take time for it actually to able to grow or to stand on its feet again. For sure, it is our responsibility and my responsibility as a medical provider. I'm an American citizen, but at the same time, I'm a South Sudanese, and I still have a lot of love and passion to help.
And I'm sure sometimes. You have a lot of relatives there. And in your first interview, you talked about having grown up in a household with 40 people. And
yes.
So my guess is, while some may have left, plenty are probably still there.
Yes, we are in contact. Very difficult to have it one day actually like not talking to a person from back home. And also like the social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, and Viber, different apps actually that can help in communication. We want to give them actually like a good example. We want to become a mentor actually for them. And at the same time, also we try to help at the best of our capacity, you know, helping people there. Physically, I'm not there, but at least we can help like in terms
of support.
We're
doing more remote medicine too.
Support and also like financially or even like by giving them some knowledge of the one that we have. So my practice here, I consider it as it's a great experience, and I love it. And at the same time, you know, raising a family, and I just wanted to do my best here. But at the same time, also I share a lot of information with my colleagues and my some few patients that they still remember me over there.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that your colleagues here understand that they can go to you for specialty information on it, tropical disease, because you really have a wealth of knowledge about that.
Also some medical knowledge, and some of them they require, for example, like asking questions about medical devices, or they wanted, for example, like to get some kind of supplies. And I managed to through an organization to ship and send medical equipment actually back home before.
Through Partners for World Health?
Actually, like I send it to the state of Jonglei, where I came from. But we help actually like sending that stuff over there. But unfortunately, because of war, most of these items actually got destroyed.
Aww.
But we are still going to send it again because this is our duty. Okay. Yeah, we have to keep on.
This is Malwal Malbur. He is at Greater Portland Health. Malwal, you are a bright man with a life force of several humans wrapped all up into one. Thank you so much for caring for Maine's most vulnerable populations and for giving people support and hope in a culturally sensitive manner. I wish you all the best to you and your family in Biddeford, and I hope you continue to share your vast understanding of medicine with us here in Maine. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Kate, and I wish you all the best, and I wish you a great day, actually.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful day today.
Oh, can't wait to get out in it. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song Malwal has selected for us. It's called I Know Who I Am by Sinash. Can you add anything to that?
No, yes, we are chosen generations, and I know who I am, actually. It's a great song. It's a Sunday, so it's a wonderful gospel music. If you enjoy gospel music, actually, it is one of my favorite kind of music, so I think it will be a great opportunity to listen to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sinash.
Wonderful day.
Chosen generation, we've been called for to show.